Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, December 25th, 2024, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Yule, and Happy Kwanzaa to those who celebrate. Also, a beautiful heavenly birthday to my dear friend Mary Christina Jones, who is celebrating from heaven. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. He is not with me right now because for the month of December, he is teaching a class at this time, and so we are unable to be together to record. So we're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Merry Christmas to all for those of you who are preparing for Christmas or having a Christmas day, and those of you who are having Hanukkah, because Hanukkah is happening at the same time as Christmas this year, and Hanukkah goes into the new year, the new Gregorian year, not the... It's still in 5785, because 5785 started back in October, really on the 1st of Tishri, as it always does. We are in the month of Kislev, and in the month of Kislev, that's when Hanukkah is. Everything is shifted ahead a month because 5784 was a leap year. And when you have a Jewish leap year, instead of adding a day, they add a whole month. So you have a Dar 1 and a Dar 2, which happens in roughly Gregorian February and March. And so when you have Purim, the fun holiday of Purim, which is basically Jewish Mardi Gras, with a different story, but it's celebrated the same way as Mardi Gras. It's a big drunk, a big festival. It's a lot of fun. And that happens in Adar 2, which happens roughly March. So everything is shifted until Adar of 5785, when there will only be one Adar 1, and then the holidays that fall after March will fall earlier. So Rosh Hashanah is going to be earlier this year. It'll be in September. And Passover will also be earlier. I think Passover is happening in April. So everything is shifted earlier this year until we have another leap year. And I cannot remember how many... I don't know that leap year is every 4 years. There's a formula. But anyway, so that's how it works. And the reason you add a whole month is because the months, the Jewish months, the Hebrew months are a month, are 28 days long. So you wind up getting really behind, and you need to add a whole month. And that's how they figured it out. And it seems to work out. Things usually fall where they, in about the same time every year. Although remember a couple of years ago, every so often, Hanukkah is on my birthday. My birthday is November 28th. And sometimes, so if it hasn't been a leap year the previous year, Hanukkah will fall very early. This year it's falling a whole month later because of the leap year last year, 5784. So Hanukkah starts in December and it goes into January. So that's kind of fun. So it's at the same time. So if you're having a Christmas celebration and you have you're going to a Christmas celebration with Christian friends, you can ask them kindly if they would let you light Hanukkah candles at their gathering. And usually they will, and it's fun and interesting. So I like when they come together because Ron was raised Christian. Not so much that he practices that way, but he was raised that way. And so we celebrate both in our house. I mean, I don't celebrate religiously Christmas, but I support him in celebrating Christmas. We do have a tree in the house, which I wouldn't have if it weren't for Ron. But we do sell, we have Hanukkah decorations. We have a menorah that sits outside, and we have blue and white garland. And we had some, there were some Hanukkah decorations that never came down last year. And so they're already up, and that's kind of nice. Notice that I am wearing some festive stuff right now. And I love these little jingly bracelets. I have a jingly necklace too that I don't happen to be. I could have put that on. And then if you're watching the Facebook Live or Instagram Live, you can see my silly shirt. It's one of those shirts that... That depending on which direction the sequins are going, it reads different things. So right now it says naughty, and I haven't figured out how to, you're looking at me in a mirror image, I think. So anyway, it's when it's red with silver writing, it's naughty, and if it's silver with red writing, it says nice. How cute is that? So I like to wear this. I have a few holiday shirts. I'm getting some peanut stuff, which I always like to wear. So that's kind of fun. Health-wise, I am very grateful for my health at the moment. My knee is quiet enough that I'm able to be on the bike. It got really cold, so I've been on Zwift most days. So I'm doing my indoor training, and I'm able to actually train and push myself a bit. So I'm very happy about that. I'm not having tremors. I remember a year ago at this time, well, it was maybe a week or two after now, when I was about to go to Florida visit my mother, I started in with tremors again, and I was very symptomatic. And I have not been symptomatic. My symptoms are very quiet now. I have not had tremors since September, which is very exciting. So I'm continuing to take Buner herbs, and I'm very happy about that. My back's pretty good. My knee's pretty good. I have a chiropractic appointment today, which is great. I'm continuing to get acupuncture. The only thing is I still get very tired after work, and I'm still trying to figure out how to work on that. I think one of the clues is to work less, is to not do as much patient care. Have not figured out how to do that. Do less patient care and more stuff like this, because this is fun. And so talking to you right here is fun. And then figuring out how to do it so I can have guests on and interview people. And that's what I would really like to do. So anyway, it's lovely to be here right now. It's lovely to be accompanying you on whatever you're doing today. Some of you are celebrating Christmas. Some of you are celebrating Hanukkah. Some of you are about to celebrate Kwanzaa, which begins tomorrow, December 26th. Blessings to you. And there are people who celebrated Yule back on the solstice. The other thing is it's December 25th, so that means that we are gaining day length now. We are past the sunset nadir. The sunset nadir happened from December 2nd through December 12th, where the sun set at 4:18 p.m. in Mansfield Center, Connecticut, where I'm recording from. And it stayed there for that time. And then we started gaining minutes at the end of the day. We still continue to lose minutes in the morning. And we do continue to lose minutes in the morning until December 29th, in which you get the sunrise zenith. And the sunrise zenith in Mansfield Center is about 7:16 a.m. And it stays there until something like January 10th or 11th, I forget the date, and then you start gaining minutes in the morning as well. So today on December 25th, we are gaining minutes. The days are getting longer, and they're getting longer at the end of the day, and the rate at which you're increasing the day length at the end of the day makes up for the time that we're losing in the beginning of the day. So just know that the evenings are going to get brighter. By New Year's, the sun sets at something like 4:30, so you gain enough minutes to make a difference, and maybe today as well. I'm not sure, but look up what the sunrise is today. So anyway, so I'm here to accompany you. I'm very grateful to have better health. We'll have to give you an update on Ron's health in the new year, because there's still some results that we're waiting for. So we'll tell you about that later. So I didn't want to talk too much about health stuff, because this is just accompanying you while you're making your food, or enjoying your company, or waiting for your company to come, or fixing your latkes, or just relaxing and lounging around, whatever it is you're doing. So I wanted to keep it light. But maybe I thought I'd talk about immunity during the holidays, how you might want to protect your immunity during the holidays. That's something that might be helpful. And here's some stuff from Bastyr University. So Bastyr University is one of the naturopathic colleges, one of the schools that you can go to become a naturopathic physician. I applied there, but did not go. I chose to go to the National College of Naturopathic Medicine, which is now the National University of Natural Medicine, because you can get more than a naturopathic degree there. So Bastyr University is in northeastern Washington. It's near in Kenmore, near Seattle, and this is their recommendations for what to do about the holiday season. So what you do, elevate your immunity. Here's some lifestyle stuff that you can do. It's important to strengthen your immune system. That happens with the colder weather. So one of the things that happens is you can get more stressed. You really need to work on your stress. When you have more stress, it reduces the activity of your immune cells. So when you have a lot of cortisol around, cortisol will suppress the activity of your white blood cells. So doing stress reduction techniques, this is a good time to get over to the yoga studio or put on some yoga on YouTube or your favorite website, or do yoga on your own, to do some meditation, to do some yoga nidra, which is a guided meditation. And you can find those on online as well to do, or you can go and join a class. Getting some exercise, some gentler exercises, or just, you know, sitting at home and reading a book, just sitting by the fire, just relaxing, taking some time to chill out and bring it down. Make sleep a priority. You really need good sleep for a good immune system. You want to look at 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night to make sure your body has enough time to regenerate and produce more immune cells. And when you get good quality sleep, you're going to be, your ratio of melatonin to cortisol is going to be better. Remember that melatonin rises over the course of the day. Your melatonin drops to its lowest level when it's about time to get up in the morning, and then it rises gradually during the course of the day until, you know, at about whatever time you usually go to sleep. So if you go to sleep at 10 o'clock, it's going to peak at that time. And it's a good idea to hit the peak of your melatonin because you'll be able to get to sleep and stay asleep more readily. If you push yourself to stay awake past that time, your melatonin starts to drop. It's harder to fall and stay asleep. Conversely, the cortisol has an inverse relationship to melatonin. So cortisol is highest in the morning so that you can wake up and have energy during your day. And your cortisol gradually goes down until about the time when you want to go to sleep, whatever that is, somewhere between 9 and midnight, whenever your sleep time is. It's at its nadir, its bottom point. And that's a good time for you to be asleep. And if you, again, if you push yourself to stay awake past that time, cortisol starts to rise again. It will be harder to fall asleep and it will be harder to stay asleep. So we're going to talk about the province of Newfoundland if we have time today. And one of the things I learned when I lived in Newfoundland, now I don't know if this is specifically a Newfoundland term, a Newfoundland idiom, but I did learn it there. And that's that every hour before midnight counts as two. And there's a point to that. And the point to that is that you're getting to sleep before the or in time for the melatonin peak and the cortisol drop. So you're going to get better sleep. You're going to feel better if you get to sleep before midnight, because midnight, for most people, cortisol is starting to rise and melatonin is starting to drop. So if you get sleep before midnight, you're going to get better sleep. You're going to fall asleep more easily and you're going to stay asleep. So make it a priority. Watch your alcohol intake. Alcohol can be great and really relaxing, but if you have a drink every night, alcohol is depleting of vitamins and minerals that you need for detoxification, and alcohol is dehydrating. And alcohol in the short term will make you sleepy, but in the long term, it will make it harder for you to stay asleep. It definitely affects sleep in a negative way. And I know that my mother, who would like to have a happy hour every night, she would find that when she would stop having her happy hour, where she'd not have a drink every night, she would sleep better. And in addition to the alcohol, stay hydrated. We talk about this pretty much every week now. Proper hydration supports your mucous membranes and circulation of your immune cells. You want to drink an adequate amount of water to keep your body functioning at its best. So your mucus, the mucus that's in your nose and the mucus that's in your mouth and throat, you need adequate mucus there to be a substrate to carry your immune cells and your immune proteins. So your immune globulins, your IgA, it needs something to sit in. And if your mouth is dry and you don't have enough saliva, you're not going to have enough IgA, likewise in your nose. So your nose and throat is where respiratory pathogens tend to enter, as well as fecal oral pathogens, things that give you gastroenteritis, they tend to enter through your mouth. And so if you have good mucous membranes and a well-functioning IgA and well-functioning white blood cells, and you have fluid, you have mucus, which you need water to make, to support the presence of those cells, you're going to have a better functioning immune system. So drinking this magical substance right here is really, really important. Okay. Let's see. I splashed my glasses. Good job. Okay. Get some physical activity. Getting regular exercise helps to enhance your immune function. It improves circulation. It flushes out bacteria. It makes white blood cells white blood cells more efficient. Anything you like to do, walking, jogging, or dancing, what's the best exercise for you? The one you'll do. So please do that one. This time of year, because it's the holidays, there might be dances, there might be parties, there could be special yoga classes, special dance classes, things to go and enjoy. So don't necessarily just go to the bar and drink. Go to the bar where it has line dancing, or go to the bar where it has there's a DJ and there's dancing. Enjoy things with your friends. This is a great time of year to go out for a hike. It's not so much fun to be on your bicycle because it's really cold on the bicycle, but you can bundle up and go for at least a short hike. And on the one hand, it's kind of sad that the leaves are all down, but on the other hand, when it's a bright sunny day and there are no leaves, you get a lot of sunlight. And it's hard to get sunlight when it's cold and you're spending a lot of time indoors. And so it's really nice to get outside. When the sun is lower, if you're facing south, it's very bright and you get a lot of sunlight into your eyes and onto your skin. And that's helpful for your serotonin, your melatonin, your vitamin D, your thyroid hormone, all of these things that you need to keep you happy and healthy and going this time of year. All right, so there are nutrients that are helpful for immune support. One of them is vitamin A. You can support your mucus barriers by incorporating foods that are rich in vitamin A. And I'm always confused about this because a lot of sources talk about foods being high in vitamin A as being green, yellow, and orange vegetables like sweet potatoes, carrots, and spinach. My understanding, there is no vitamin A in those things. There is beta carotene in those things. And beta carotene is what's found in plants. And beta carotene gets converted in your body to vitamin A. Vitamin A is found in animal sources. And you can take vitamin A pills, and you can also get vitamin A. Vitamin A you're going to get from cod liver oil, and you're going to get from meat, poultry, and fish. Whereas beta carotene you're going to get from brightly colored vegetables. All the carotenoids are beautiful colors. And so anything that's pretty colors, so peppers and carrots and spinach and all the leafy greens have carotenoids in them. Peaches are not in season. So if you're going to eat them, you're probably going to be eating them frozen and organic, which you can do. But this time of year, you're looking at, things like peppers and sweet potatoes and winter squash. Those are all going to have a lot of beta carotene in them so you can make your vitamin A. Vitamin C, vitamin C rich fruits. If you tolerate citrus, this time of year, I tend to encourage people to eat citrus. And right now, of course, citrus is not growing in the Northeast. It is growing in Florida. So if you can get your hands on Florida citrus, that's great. I'm looking forward to going to Florida in January, which will be next week, and getting some fresh citrus because it'll be local. And I'm very excited about that. So citrus is growing now. In various parts of the world. It's growing in Florida. If you can get Florida citrus, that's ideal because the carbon footprint is less. And if they're shipping it from Florida, it's not taking that long to get up here. So if you can also get Florida citrus, Florida fresh squeezed orange juice, if you can get that, that's helpful too. And the other thing is you can get the clementines and Satsuma oranges, which are grown other places. And when you get the big things of clementine, big boxes of clementines, they're usually coming from places like Morocco and Spain, which is fine. But they've been growing this time of year, so you're going to get some nice vitamin C from those foods. You don't only have to get vitamin C from citrus. You can get vitamin C from peppers, broccoli, kiwi, and rose hips. And this time of year, again, the rose hips are not growing. That rose hips grow locally, but if you're going to have rose hips, you're probably going to get dried ones, and you can have them in tea. And vitamin C boosts your immune system. Vitamin C strengthens your mucous membranes. It helps to build collagen. So your mucous membranes all have collagen in them. So your vitamin C is going to help to protect your mucous membranes, make them more impervious to viruses that are in the environment. And vitamin C also stimulates the functioning of your white blood cells. Then there's vitamin D. Vitamin D is something, again, you need to get your doc to test you for vitamin D and see where you're at. This time of year, it's really a good idea to be at least 50, 55 nanograms per milliliter. And if you're not there, you have to figure out a dose that will get you there. And usually in this part of the world, I'm sitting at about the 40, nearly the 42nd parallel, but it's 40. We're sitting at about 41.8 here. The 42nd parallel is a little to the north of us in Massachusetts. I'm pointing up. That's where Massachusetts is. I mean, Massachusetts is 20 miles. The borders were 20 miles from the border or so. Not far. So at this latitude, we don't get a lot of vitamin D. You need the sun to be at least 50 degrees above the horizon, and it only makes it there 6 months of the year at this latitude. So we are not there right now. So when I measure people's vitamin D, it tends to be low. So people in this area do better if they take vitamin D. You're going to get less sick. You're going to have better mood. Vitamin D is important for so many different functions in the body. And one of them is the functioning of serotonin. And if you don't have adequate serotonin function, your mood is not going to work as well. But vitamin D is very important for your immune system, both directly and also because it works with white blood cells to help your immune system, but it also helps to regulate your thyroid function and your thyroid hormone. So when you have adequate thyroid hormone, you're going to have a better functioning immune system. Then there's zinc. It's a wonderful mineral. Zinc supports white blood cells, helps you maintain a strong gut barrier. Foods that are high in zinc are going to be seeds, so pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds are all reasonably high in zinc. And then meats, because zinc is part, you need zinc for wound healing. So zinc is present in your skin, and it's also present in your muscle. So it's present in the skin and muscle of animals. So animal protein is going to have zinc in it. So meats and shellfish, and also legumes. So if you eat beans, you're going to get zinc. And lentils are particularly high in zinc, relatively. So you can have a wonderful lentil stew. If you have a lentil stew and you put turmeric in it, you put curry in it, you put onions and garlic in it and black pepper, you're going to have ginger and garlic and onions. A stew like that is going to be wonderful for your immune system and, you know, hearty and healing for this time of year. So if you incorporate those lifestyle tips, your immune system can be in better shape. So that was from Bastyr University. Very nice. Other things that we tend to do this time of year, one of them is to use your neti pot, especially if you've been out and about with a lot of people around. When you use a neti pot, you're flushing out the extra secretions of that happen. And if you have encountered any viruses, you may flush a certain amount of them out, and if you head it off, you might not get sick. If you're already sick, if you use the neti pot regularly, you're flushing out viruses again, and your viral load will go down because viruses tend to accumulate in your nose, and you won't be sick for as long. So neti pots are great. You can use the neti pot, warm water, the water in a neti pot. If you have city water, your city water's probably got some chlorine in it, so you don't have to worry about getting parasites in your nose. And if you have a well, you want to just make sure your well is hundreds of feet deep. So if you have a 200-foot well or more, then you don't have to worry about getting parasites because the water sits in the earth at 55 degrees Fahrenheit, and parasites don't grow in that at that temperature. If your well is shallow, it's in the teens or something like that, or if it's less than 100 feet, I would boil your water before using it in any pot. And obviously you don't use boiling water in your nose. You boil it first, and then you have to gently warm it. You have to let it cool till it gets to a temperature that you can use in your nose. The water in a neti pot can't be too hot and it can't be too cold. If it's too cold, it will make you dizzy. And if it's too hot, it will burn your nose. So we have a very deep well, so I just use tap water and I use it from the tap and I can get it to a temperature that works for me. I like to use nasal sprays, and I'm not a big fan of steroid nasal sprays, because steroid nasal sprays will suppress the inflammation in your nose, but they will also suppress your immune system. That's how they work. So you're more likely to get sick if you use steroid nasal sprays. So your fluticasone, your mometasone, most of the nasal sprays are fluticasone. They might be mometasone too. But that's what they are. And they will make you more comfortable, but they do suppress the immune system. If you use silver nanoparticles will kill viruses and bacteria in your nose, as will xylitol, grapefruit seed, and saline nasal sprays. They'll kill pretty much anything. Saline, the nice thing about saline is it's a hypersaline solution, so it's a solution that has more salt in it than the mucous membranes in your nose, so it's going to tend to draw fluid and inflammation out of your nose. So that's a really helpful thing to have on there. If you're using xylitol and you have dogs, keep it away from the dogs. And you may want to choose not to use a xylitol nasal spray if you have dogs, because xylitol's toxic to dogs. So you use the nasal spray and then you're all kissy-faced with your dogs, that's not a good thing. But that's okay, because you can use silver and you can use saline, just plain saline. You can put a drop of tea tree oil in your saline, that won't hurt them. And you can get just nasal sprays that are just grapefruit seed and saline, and you can use those. Just stay away from the xylitol if you have dogs. There's a product you can get at the drugstore that's meant for nasal cleansing. It has a lot of herbs in it and essential oils, and there is a brand name to it, but it's something that I use. Now I will mix my xylitol grapefruit seed saline half and half with that, And so that helps me to clean my nose out and keep it clear. Tea tree oil, you can get nasal sprays with tea tree oil in them, and those are really helpful. It's also easy to find nasal sprays now. That this used to not be as easy to find, but you can get nasal sprays with iodine in them. I don't know if I'd use those every day. If you tend to absorb a bit of the iodine, you have to watch your thyroid function with that. But iodine will kill anything, and iodine has been studied to kill COVID, the virus that causes COVID-19, the SARS-CoV-2. So you can use that if you want to. It's been studied to do that. I can't guarantee 100%. I'm not going to say if you use iodine, you're definitely not going to get COVID, because COVID is really, really contagious. And the nice thing about COVID is that COVID is mutating to be more like the common cold. A lot of the COVID strains that are out right now are, they are Omicron variants. They're variants of Omicron, but it keeps mutating because that's what cold viruses do. Respiratory viruses mutate. And so they keep mutating, and it keeps, so the viruses that are going to mutate, they're going to be less harmful. That's how they spread. If a virus kills people, then the virus is going to die with the people who die. So the ones that are circulating now, COVID has been in the environment since 2019, roughly, and it's been mutating and mutating. So the people who are getting it, you're just not hearing about people being real sick with it in the hospital or dying of it at the rate that they used to, because the virus has mutated into something that is endemic in the community and doesn't kill people and therefore spreads. So that's how the common cold is. It doesn't tend to kill people. So it goes from person to person, and it propagates itself. Good times. So then there's gargling. Don't forget to gargle. I would say cleaning your nose is more important than gargling, but they're both important because viruses collect in your nose and they also collect at the back of your throat. And viruses in your nose will drip into your throat. So it's important to do both. And my opinion is it's a good idea to spray your nose or do your neti pot, and then immediately after doing that, then you gargle. And you can gargle with plain salt water. You can do plain salt water with a drop of tea tree oil. You can gargle. You can get natural herbal mouthwashes that have lovely things in them, like tea tree oil and neem and thyme oil and various other antimicrobial things, and xylitol as well. Again, if you have dogs, you may not want to use those. Look, this jingles. That's so cute. All right. So so gargling is also really important. And rinsing your mouth is really important too, because it's going to kill bacteria that cause plaque. But gargling, first you do your nose and then you gargle right afterwards. And that's also really important. By the way, gargling, if you need some energy, gargling is helpful for energy because it stimulates the vagus nerve, or actually helps keep you calmer, helps the vagus nerve to be more balanced. It's one of the things that you can do when you're terribly anxious. And so it is stress reducing to gargle. Who knew? Now, should you wear a mask? That's debatable. I mean, I think that my opinion is if you wear a mask, you're going to be more protected than if you don't wear a mask. And the most protective mask is going to be an N95 mask. If you don't want to wear an N95 mask, you don't have to. I think that any kind of mask that you wear is going to be somewhat helpful. We eventually learned that cloth masks were not as helpful as some of the synthetics masks than you can get. And I found that the procedure masks that you get are going to be helpful. They're probably more helpful than a cloth mask. And even more helpful than that are the KN95 masks. So KN95 masks is a good compromise, because the N95 masks are very uncomfortable because you have to pull them tight and you get hot and sweaty inside them and it's harder to breathe in them. The KN95 masks are very manageable. Now you can get KN95 masks. Unfortunately, they're disposable, so you can't wash them and reuse them really. But they will protect you more than not wearing a mask. Will they completely protect you? Probably not. But you're less likely to get, less likely to catch something if you wore them. So when Ron and I, back in November, we went to the movie theater for the first time since COVID, right? COVID was in 2020, and it took us till 2024 to sit in a movie theater. I decided that I was either let's wait a few weeks because the movie theater is going to be very full and I'm concerned we're going to get sick. Ron said, why don't we just wear masks? And then finally I was like, you know what? I really want to see Wicked. So we wore masks and it was fine, you know. Now, the thing is, when you're watching Wicked, you need to be careful because you're going to be breathing really hard because it's very, very exciting. So make sure you're wearing a mask that you can breathe. So I would say it all depends on what's going on. If you've already had COVID this season, you might be okay. If you're not too concerned about getting colds and flus and you just don't want to wear a mask, you don't have to. You're going to be more protected if you do. If you're going into a situation where a lot of people are crowded together and sitting and there's a lot of breathing going on, like you're in a church or a synagogue where there's a lot of people. I think shopping is not as critical, because when you're shopping, you're moving around and you're not necessarily getting really close to people unless it's really crowded. Now, mind you, when I go to the Big Y, there are staff that are always masked and there are a number of people who still mask when they go shopping, which is fine. I mean, it's everybody's choice. And if they want to do that, I commend them. And you should never fault somebody for wanting to wear a mask. The other place I tend to wear a mask is in the airport and on the plane, because I'm concerned about that. Now, that's a situation where generally when I'm flying to see my mother, who's 85 years old, and I don't want to get her sick. So on the plane, I still wear a mask. And I will probably not change that, because a number of times I have come home sick from traveling, especially to that trip, the winter trip to go see my mother. I come home and get a cold. I remember a few years ago, I got a cold. The cold started when I was in Florida, so I obviously caught it on the plane. So even though they filter the air and it's probably pretty safe, I don't take chances on the plane. If I'm sitting next to somebody who happens to be sick, I'm going to be more likely to catch it. And what you do is it's a good idea to carry your favorite nasal spray. And I also carry throat spray with herbal stuff in it. And I have an Echinacea propolis throat spray. Echinacea is a great immune stimulant. It stimulates white blood cell activity. And propolis is a great disinfectant. It comes from bees. And so I carry those with me. And after I go through TSA, I sit down and I sanitize my hands and I spray my nose and I spray my throat. And then I carry on my way. And then I go buy my my too expensive airport water drink to take on the plane because I'm usually thirsty at that point. So should you wear a mask? The answer is maybe if you want to. And patients still come into my office wearing masks. If I am not wearing a mask in the office, and I will ask the if patient is masked, and I will ask them if they would like me to put on a mask. And no patient has said yes to that. Everybody's like, don't worry, I'm just wearing a mask. I just want to myself. You don't have to. So sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, depending on how I'm feeling. All right, so immune stuff that you can take. You can eat raw local honey. Raw local honey is going to have some flavonoids in it, and it's going to have some immune-stimulating properties to it. You can get honey that has been enhanced with immune-stimulating herbs like elderberry and echinacea, and even propolis and other things. And you can eat that regularly. If you're going to take it immune-wise, I wouldn't put it in tea unless the tea is less than 120 degrees Fahrenheit. So in order for honey to still be raw and maintain its components, you have to keep it below 120 degrees Fahrenheit. So don't put, if you want the immune benefits of tea, don't put it in hot tea. If you want to sweeten your tea with honey, by all means put honey in the tea. But if you're looking for the immune benefits, take a spoonful and don't put it in the tea. Or wait, or you need a little thermometer to make sure the tea is less than 120 degrees and then throw it in then if you want to do it that way. But if you want to give yourself honey for immune purposes, just take a spoonful, put it on bread, put it on an apple, and or just eat it straight and sweeten your tea. Go ahead and sweeten your tea. You're going to lose some of the immune benefits, but you're still going to get some of them. But it will be better if you don't rely on tea, overheated honey for your immunity. So elderberry is a wonderful, it's been studied. It was studied in Israel to be, to kill flu viruses. Echinacea is antimicrobial and also supports the function of white blood cells. Astragalus is a wonderful Chinese medicine immune tonic, and it's a great antibacterial. I like rhodiola. Rhodiola is energizing, and it's great for balancing the immune system, and it helps with thyroid function. Ashwagandha is very good. I can't take ashwagandha because it makes me very sleepy, but ashwagandha is great for this time of year if you tend to be very hyped and you need some calming. It calms me down too much. It makes me sleepy, so I don't take it, but a lot of people take it and they're fine with it, and it helps them sleep. It helps them with anxiety, and it will also help boost your immune system. It also helps with your joint health. Eleuthero is very nice too. Eleuthero used to be called Siberian ginseng. Now it's just called Eleuthero to distinguish it from ginseng. It's not in the same, I don't think it's even in the same family as Panax ginseng, the Chinese and Korean ginseng. So it is a great immune tonic. Then cordyceps. Cordyceps is lovely. Cordyceps is energizing. Cordyceps I would recommend taking in the morning because it tends to boost your energy. And cordyceps is a fungus, and it's a weird fungus that grows in nature. It grows on special caterpillars and ants. But when you get cordyceps as a supplement, generally it's been grown on antimicrobial, on algal culture or bacterial culture. And so it's vegan. It's not, there are no insects being killed by taking the cordyceps. We use it in Lyme disease because it is an overall immune enhancer. Straight up ginseng, so Chinese ginseng. Chinese ginseng and licorice tend to be very stimulating. I don't recommend them for people who have high blood pressure because they can raise your blood pressure. Licorice is good if you tend to have low blood pressure. So you have to be careful with it. You can use a little bit, and you can use deglycyrrhizinated licorice, licorice that has the glycyrrhizin. But the glycyrrhizin is part of what helps your adrenals to function and helps your immune system. So I only use that in people who are depleted. So those can be really helpful as well. And ginseng as well. I don't really recommend it for people who tend to be excess. So you can have nice teas this time of year that have ginger, lemon, licorice. Again, you only do the licorice if you don't have a blood pressure issue. And turmeric. And golden milk is great too. Golden milk you can make with turmeric or a curry blend. And you can put cardamom and ginger and cinnamon in it. And you can mix it in with coconut milk and heat it up and put some honey in it. And then you have a great, great soothing tonic. And it's really delicious too. So why washing and sanitizing your hands is still a good idea. So respiratory infections are mostly transmitted by aerosols. So aerosols are, that's when I sit here and breathe. While I'm sitting here breathing, there's mist that's coming out of my mouth and nose that's moisturizing my membrane so that I can speak better and so that I have an immune system and all those great things. So aerosols are how COVID-19 is generally spread. That is how colds are spread. There are some viruses like RSV, that respiratory syncytial virus, that is actually more transmitted by fomites. So what's a fomite? I go, achoo, and I get my spittle on the table. Poor Ron comes in, touches it, touches his face, and now he's sick. That's a fomite. And so GI bugs are mostly transmitted by fomites. So this is why to wash your hands when you go into the restroom. If you don't want it, if you and your family are there all the time and you don't want to because you're sharing each other's germs anyway, you might not do it every single time, but it's probably a good idea. But if you go into a public restroom, it is really important to wash your hands right after you use the restroom because you have no idea who's been there and what bugs that they might have. So you want to wash your hands if you're in the public restroom or if you're at a gathering or having guests in your home because you don't know what they're bringing in. You do not have to use antibacterial soap. The main thing is to scrub with soap and water for 20 seconds. It can be your favorite soap. It can be your favorite not so good for you soap, you know, something that comes from the grocery store, and it can be all natural soap. The thing, it's because if it has essential oils that are antimicrobial, that's helpful, but it's the action of the soap, the action of the slipperiness of the soap that allows scrubbing, and the scrubbing action, the soap enhances the scrubbing action, so it's going to remove bacteria and viruses from your skin. So you have to spend some time at it, and you want to spend at least 20 seconds scrubbing your hands, and you should really scrub your whole hand, both sides, all your fingers, and down to your wrists, and past a little past your wrists, and spend 20 seconds doing it. You can sing any 20-second ditty you like Happy Birthday at a moderate pace. Remember how we said that? And there was a list somewhere of 20-second ditties, the things that you could sing that took 20 seconds. We used to have that during the pandemic. So that's the immune stuff, and now we have... let's see, we have something like 18 minutes yet, which is high. So let's talk about what Christmas and Jewish people, because I'm a Jewish people, and maybe this is interesting to you, what it's like to be Jewish on Christmas. Do we celebrate Christmas? So me, Fran, I don't celebrate the birth of Jesus directly. I mean, I celebrate it for you if you are Christian. If you believe in Jesus and Jesus makes you a good person and you love Jesus, I'm very happy for you. You should celebrate Christmas. It's great. I don't celebrate it that way because I'm not supposed to. In Judaism, we don't have Jesus as our Messiah, whereas Christians do. One of the big things about Judaism is Judaism believes that we do not believe in proselytizing. We don't believe in bringing other people into Judaism unless they really, really want to. Somebody who wants to convert to Judaism is going to be turned away traditionally three times from the rabbi to go and think about it, because once you're Jewish, that's it. You're not even supposed to talk about the fact that you converted because you're one of us now. And so So we don't encourage it. We don't feel like other people should be Jewish. That's not a thing in Judaism. So evangelicism is not part of Judaism. And the upside of that is we believe that as long as people follow the parts of the Ten Commandments that don't directly have to do with God, they're righteous. So that's about 6 or 7 commandments. So the ones that you honor the Lord your God, and no idols, and the Sabbath. We don't care if people who are not Jewish observe those. So the ones about honoring your father and mother, don't steal, don't kill, those sorts of things everybody should do. And if you follow those, you're a righteous person. Doesn't matter what your religion is. So therefore, it's perfectly fine for people to be Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever, as long as they're righteous. It's great. And the world is big enough for all of us. Wouldn't it be nice if we all believed that? So the 25th of December has been designated as the day to celebrate the birth of Jesus, although it appears that date was chosen because that was around the time of Saturnalia in Roman times, and Jesus was probably actually born in the spring if you look at what was happening with the star announcing his birth. That star was, they thought, was probably a phenomenon that was happening in the spring. So anyway, but the chosen date is the 25th of December, which is great. And Hanukkah is celebrated. It starts on the 25th of Kislev. Who knew that? I didn't realize it was started on the 25th. So the 25th of Kislev, of course, moves around in the Gregorian calendar, as we explained that earlier. The holidays are by no means synonymous and don't fall on the same days. So what does Christmas time mean for Jewish peoples? In reality, Christmas is, it's not our holiday, it's your holiday. It's if you're Christian. We don't technically celebrate. We'll hang out with you if we love you and you're our friends and you've invited us over, but we're not celebrating the birth of Jesus. We're celebrating a festive day with our friends or family. So Christians celebrated Jesus's birth at Christmas. There were some significant things that happened in his life, but we celebrate Hanukkah, and that has festivities that last for 8 days. Hanukkah celebrates the victory of the Maccabees, who is a group of Jewish rebel warriors that over Judea. Antiochus Epiphanes IV, also known as Xerxes, was the Syrian ruler who had control over Israel at the time, and those people decimated the temple in Jerusalem and made studying the Torah punishable by death. We weren't allowed to study Torah, which is terrible. He was overthrown by the Maccabees. Maccabee is Hebrew for a hammer, who took back the Temple of Jerusalem. And following this, they issued an 8-day celebration of the Jewish faith. And this was marked by rekindling the menorah on the 25th of Kislev. The menorah is a candelabrum. It has 4 places for candles on either side of a central candle for a total of 9 candles. The one in the middle, called the shamash, is used to light the surrounding 8 candles. So you light these candles during Hanukkah to represent the 8 days of Jewish celebration. It sort of represents the small amount of oil that was able to keep the lamps in the temple burning throughout. So they only had enough oil for 1 day, and it kept burning for 8 days while they went out to where the olives grew to get more olives to make more olive oil. And it grew all that time. So Messianic Jews do celebrate Christmas. They believe that Jesus is in fact the Messiah, but still follow the Jewish holidays. So Messianic Jews, I'm reading this, that Messianic Jews tend not to believe in Christmas, and they are of the same Jewish belief that westernized Christmas traditions, that Santa Claus are ways for industries to gain profit. So I didn't realize that Messianic Jews don't necessarily celebrate Christmas. That probably varies by Messianic Jew. Our opinion of Messianic Jews is, for me personally, again, you should celebrate whatever you want. But to me, Messianic Jews are Christians. But I think the point of Messianic Judaism is that they recognize that Christianity was born of Judaism, and they want to retain a lot of the Jewish traditions. That's kind of a nice sentiment, that if you're going to be Christian, let's retain some of the Jewish. And there are Christians who call themselves Christian who have Passover seders and observe some of the Jewish festivals because they recognize that. So Israel in recent years has started decorating the streets for Christmas for the Christina citizens and the influx of tourists around that time. Christmas in Israel isn't really celebrated by locals because most of the people are Jewish. Christmas in Jerusalem is great for tourists as they do a beautiful job of decorating places like the YMCA held Christmas services. So aside from sharing a date, there's no relationship between Hanukkah and Christmas. They celebrate vastly different things. So it doesn't tend to mean much to us except that it's something that we celebrate with you if we love you and we want to hang out with you. So it's nothing against it. It's perfectly fine. And it's just that it's not our holiday. It's yours. But we'll celebrate it with you if you invite us, if we want to do that. Let me see. Does it talk about... Okay, so here, what do Jews do on Christmas? Well, I have a partner who celebrates Christmas with his family, so I go. That's what I do. I go with Ron. If Susan and Michael are away, we celebrate together, and if they're not away, we go to West Hartford and hang out with Susan and Michael, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. And that's always very nice. They have a lovely home and they're very gracious and they make great food and we bring a dish or two. And sometimes we do gifts and sometimes we don't. So that's what I do. But what do we tend to do on Christmas? It's not a Jewish holiday. Some Jews are, so different Jews do different things. That less than a third of Jews have a Christmas tree, and most of those are intermarried. Right, that's what I said. We have a Christmas tree because of Ron. Otherwise, I wouldn't have one. Many Jews are uncomfortable about Christmas. We don't mind other people celebrating it. We aren't offended at a good-natured Merry Christmas. I don't mind it. That's, by the way, I don't mind if you say Merry Christmas to me. I tend to say happy holidays to people because I don't want to make any assumptions in my community about what people celebrate because I have so many different people. I live in a university town. So there are people in this town who are from India, who are from China, who are Muslim, who are agnostics or atheists, or who are Wiccan. And in this particular town, because it's a university town, you have so many different people. So I tend to say happy holidays, again, because I don't want to offend anybody. It's not just because I'm Jewish and somebody might be Jewish. It's because somebody might be who knows what. That's why I say happy holidays. If you say Merry Christmas to me, I will say thank you. I might even say Merry Christmas back. I don't mind. It's if somebody's giving me a good-natured wish, I don't mind. I'm not going to think of you as being selfish or Christianocentric because you say that. The festive lights are still really lovely, and I'll still go to see them. I don't mind the Christmas music. We like the cookies and candy. They're delicious. But some things we might not want to do. If Ron wanted to go look at the beautiful lights around around our neighborhood and in Willimantic, we would do that. Or if we wanted to go to Rentschler Field to see the beautiful Christmas lights, I enjoy that. I'll go see Christmas shows sometimes and watch Christmas movies. Again, it's not about Jesus for me. It's about this is the season and it's all around me. So you kind of celebrate it. On December 25th, sometimes Christmas overlaps with Shabbat in case you can always go to synagogue. We shouldn't be doing anything on Shabbat anyway, so sometimes we'll go to synagogue. If it's Hanukkah, of course we'll celebrate Hanukkah. And it's hard to find something to do on Christmas, so rather like the early days of the 2020 pandemic. Even the grocery stores are closed. So one of the jokes is Chinese in a movie, right? So many Jews go out for Chinese food on Christmas. And Justice Elena Kagan mentioned that in her Supreme Court confirmation hearings when a senator asked her where she was on Christmas. She said, you know, like all Jews, I was probably at a Chinese restaurant. Somebody even wrote a song about Jews eating Chinese food on Christmas. And there was a not real meme of a sign in a Chinese restaurant that said thank you from the Chinese Restaurant Association. This wasn't real, but it was funny. It thanked the Jewish people that their God insists that we eat their food on Christmas. The Chinese do not celebrate Christmas any more than we do, so most Chinese restaurants are open on Christmas. And in Philadelphia and New York, there are several kosher certified Chinese restaurants so that observant Jews can eat Chinese on Christmas. Some cities have matzah balls. So a matzah ball would be a party, a Jewish singles dance on Christmas Eve or Christmas night. And during the pandemic, there were virtual matzah balls. Who knew? And as I said, Chinese in a movie is the joke. So many movie theaters are open on Christmas Day, particularly in the afternoon. And so Jewish people will go to, might go to the movies on Christmas. So I wanted to get in a little bit of, a little bit of what happens for Kwanzaa. Because Kwanzaa, if you're listening to this on December 25th, Kwanzaa starts tomorrow on December 26th, and here's the deal with Kwanzaa. It was started by Maulana Karenga, who's a black nationalist who later became a college professor, and so he modeled the holiday after traditional African harvest festivals. And he took the name Kwanzaa from the Swahili phrase Matunda ya Kwanzaa, which means first fruits. The extra A was added, Karenga said, simply to accommodate seven children at the first ever Kwanzaa celebration in 1966, each of whom wanted to represent a letter. Many people celebrate both Kwanzaa and Christmas. Kwanzaa is not a religious holiday, but a cultural one with inherent spiritual quality. So Africans of all faiths can and do celebrate Kwanzaa. Muslims, Christians, Black Hebrews, Jews, Buddhists, Baha'i, and Hindus, as well as those who follow ancient traditions of Mat, Yoruba, Ashanti, Dogon, and more. So non-Black people can also enjoy Kwanzaa, just as non-Mexicans commemorate Cinco de Mayo or the Day of the Dead. Kwanzaa centers around the seven principles. And the seven principles of Kwanzaa, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm running out of time, so I think we're gonna pick this up next week, because it will still be Hanukkah and it will still be Kwanzaa on New Year's Day. So we'll have a show for you on New Year's Day. So we'll talk about Kwanzaa and we'll talk a little bit more about the history of Hanukkah, because it will still be Hanukkah. So anyway, so we'll do that next week. So all right. So I hope you have a wonderful Christmas holiday. If you're celebrating with your family, many blessings to you. I hope that for anybody who's struggling right now, lots of love to you as well. And happy Hanukkah to those who are celebrating Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa to those who are going to celebrate Kwanzaa. Happy day to whatever you are doing right now. And hopefully you are able to stay cozy and warm with your chosen or blood family of all types. So I'm gonna let you go now. Okay. So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. My co-host Ron Meniza is making his shows on a different day for the month of December because he's teaching a fitness class at our usual time. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show in another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.